You're listening to WRFR LP 93.3 FM Rockland, broadcasting also on W257BI 99.3 FM Camden, and streaming on the web at WRFR.org.
I'm Ron Huber, host of Weekend Roundtable on WRFR. On July 19th, singer-songwriter, nuclear weapons activist Peter Neils came to the roundtable. We discussed the state of the nuclear weapons complex at Los Alamos and his 40 years of activism. We also discussed his music performances at clubs, festivals, and rallies throughout New England and the Rocky Mountain states. We also heard two selections from Neil's latest CD, Desert Dreams. The two songs are Depleted Uranium Blues and the New Mexico Nuclear Waltz. This recording is 22 minutes long.
We have a musician here that I wanted to let listeners get to know, and he's a social justice and environmental activist and a whole lot more, and he spent an awful lot of time here in this area, but he moved to New Mexico about 15 years ago, and I want to introduce Peter Neils to the show. Peter, welcome to the show.
Hey, Ron, how's it going?
Very good, very good. Now, our area has been going through a lot of different environmental changes, and you've been away for a while, 15 years, maybe visit now and then, but a lot of things must have changed since you first came to the area. Do you notice any of that here before we go to your New Mexico?
I think my biggest concern is the issue of the push people have to put wind power in places that cause me to be concerned. Because all the wind projects I've seen, with the exception of the one out on Vinyl Haven, seem to be associated with ridgetops and that's roots for migratory raptors, so that I have a concern there that, the appropriate environmental issues have been addressed. I'm not sure that they always are.
Well, yeah, it tends to – sometimes they are, sometimes they aren't. I noticed there was going to be one on the Bald Mountain in Camden, and I worked with some folks who were able to convince the Island Institute and others that were promoting that it was not a good idea, and both for the bird reasons and also for the fact that scenic beauty is something that they just don't make it anymore.
No.
You know, and if you can go, oh yes, those beautiful white towers and those flipping things. Well, you know, the eye of the beholder, and people come up here to Maine spending millions and millions of dollars collectively because they like the natural beauty and the sort of 19th century, early 20th century beauty of the housing and architecture and so on. It's not, they didn't come here to enjoy the 21st century tech, is what I think.
Mm-hmm.
But then that's my thought. So now you've been away from the area, as you say, for a long time. And what was it like going to someplace entirely different? I mean, New Mexico, there's no tide there. I checked. I was there. Water just sort of sat there.
Well, yeah, it runs down the Rio Grande and the Pecos in New Mexico. That's what we have going on there. But it's interesting because I live just outside of Albuquerque. And and when I went there, well, I knew that Sandia National Laboratory was in Albuquerque. And I knew my knowledge about Sandia was that Sandia did research involving renewable energies, you know, particularly solar, but other technologies as well. And only after moving there did I realize that, that's about 2% of Sandia's budget is renewable energy. It's Sandia National Laboratory is about the size of the city of Rockland.
As one laboratory?
Yeah.
Now, is it mostly a nuclear lab, or what do they do there?
Well, it's when you say it's a laboratory, the short answer is yes. But it's a huge, sprawling complex of complex buildings that, as I say, is about the size of the city of Albuquerque, and its adjoining neighbor is Kirtland Air Base, so it's a major Air Force base that has several missions. One of which is the heavy bomber fleet that delivers nuclear weapons by air. Nuclear weapons are delivered three ways, you know, by missile, by aircraft, and by submarine launch missiles.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I inadvertently moved into one of the epicenters of the military-industrial complex, and I was working on forestry issues, which is all well and good, but you know, you can't get away from the fact that the issue in New Mexico is the nuclear weapons industry.
Mm. And so I assume there's probably different justice movements or different anti-war folks that will occasionally frequent the gates of a place like that.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, so how did you interact with these things? In fact, I also want to say that you've been so nice to give us a copy of your album, Desert Dreams. And perhaps rather than you explain, are there a particular song that might sum up your, you know, one of these things? We'll get into some of them later.
Well, you know, the Sandia National Laboratory is primarily concerned with engineering delivery. So it's control and delivery is what Sandia does. They don't do a lot of weapons work per se. Most of that is up the road, 75 miles in Los Alamos.
So this is the point and shoot part.
Yes. So but we could play depleted uranium blues, and folks might get a kick out of that.
Okay. Well, let's do that, because I just assume that be about as close to depleted uranium as I'm going to get here. Stand by a moment.
From the plains of Sagar to the hills of Los Alamos, stop in Albuquerque to pick up just one last dose. With all this nasty stuff hanging around here, I think it's kind of cool we found something to do with it. Well, baby, we ain't defeated. We just got them depleted uranium blues. It's heavier than anything we've ever put a shell behind. Punctures armor plate and blows glowing dust into the wind. But all the hippies tell the ink about it, but they don't have a clue, they don't know spit about it, there you go. Well, baby, we ain't defeated. We just got them to bleed a uranium moon. But all the studies we've conducted indicate there's nothing wrong. We're scattering a little toxic dust around a foreign land. So what's the basis of your histrionics? For all the guff you're peddling, you don't really matter, there you go. Baby, we ain't defeated. We just got them to bleed uranium. Uranium blue, uranium blue.
All right. Now, it's interesting because, you know, like you said, people will talk past each other. And these, like the nuclear scientists will go, they don't understand the calculus of all this stuff. And all that, and therefore their position doesn't matter. But so, do you find that happening? People talking past each other in this sort of debate.
There's a lot of that, and I'm very fortunate to have worked for almost 10 years with an organization called the Los Alamos Study Group, which is a tiny, tiny little think tank in Albuquerque. The executive director of which was the first environmental regulator in the state of New Mexico to cite Los Alamos National Laboratory for an environmental violation. And he went on to found the study group because the environment department was ineffectual at controlling the lab's misbehavior. Mm.
It was too big a tail. It wagged the whole dog, I imagine.
Yes, it does. So, you know, this is people do, for the most part, talk past each other, the activists and the people at the labs. It's important for, I'll play a song. Mm-hmm. It's important for us to appreciate the fact, and, you know, it's kind of a vacuum, so a lot of this doesn't get out, like to people in Maine, for example. Mm-hmm. But mission buy-in at the nuclear labs is at an all-time low.
Mission volume?
Mission buy-in.
Meaning that people don't even believe in what they're doing?
Duh. You hit it.
We just work here. Is that?
Yeah, there's all kinds of cognitive dissonance. There's all different ways. You know, you can make up any narrative you want, but they're astoundingly well-paid individuals up there. Los Alamos, year after year, it's one of the richest counties in the United States. And it's a little tiny county. It's just the laboratory. It's Los Alamos County.
Well, then I imagine these people do not want to rock that boat.
That's a lot of it, is they just don't want to rock the boat. But we enjoy very good relations with high-clearance scientists. So we, we obviously never ask them to compromise their clearance. But we have very good relations because we operate on the assumption that anyone in the lab is a potential ally.
That's very much the right way to do things, I found. With the environmental agencies, I got many allies, and there's a few political administrators that are just poison, both to myself and to those folks, and that's how it is. But tell you what, though, that I love your CD, but why don't you play something live for us here? And let me just get things set up here. Peter Nils, what are you going to play for us?
You know, I'm going to play a song about forests and forestry issues. And this is by an old friend of mine named Robert Hoyt. And this song is on my album, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the way I like to approach issues-related material. And that is less confrontational and more thought-provoking, more provocative from the perspective of... I want people to listen to the song and have it. I don't want them to go, oh, God, and turn it off. I want them to listen to it, so I want it to be something that is seductive.
All right, so chill, people. Listen.
Sitting around the campfire on a starry night down in the hemlock grove. From the bright sunlight down in the hemlock grove, in the flat between the mountains where the wild turkey roam, firefly and the fox farm make their home. I know I don't belong here yet, somehow I do, down in the hemlock grove. They're cutting over there, and it seems so crazy, it seems so unfair. It took 100 years for this woods to repair since they last cut this hemlock grove. Listen to the sound of the babbling brook down in the hemlock grove. And you can hear voices above the roar down in the hemlock grove, muttering and murmuring, laughter and screams. You'd have to hear it to know what I mean. You'd come to realize you're never alone when you're down in the hemlock grove. Down in the hemlock grove. Oh, when you're down in the hemlock grove.
Yeah, all right. So, now that was by Robert Hoyt. You say, can you tell me a little bit about him? I remember the name. He's been quite an activist over the years, I think.
Yeah, Robert's an old earth-firster and a great guy, a wonderful songwriter. And he and I have been friends for, well, I used to have a radio show on a station a little ways up the coast from here, a little community radio station.
Okay.
And I walked in one day, and there was a new release there, and it was called Dumpster Diving Across America by okay. this guy named Robert Hoyt. I said, man, that is weird. So I pulled it out and looked at it, and it was a crazy-looking guy, and then I saw this song, Hemlock Grove, and I like hemlock. Hemlock's a cool tree, you know, and of course it's native to this forest complex here. And hemlock exhibits a very interesting properties, and that is the terminal leader always leans away from the prevailing wind. So on a piece of land, if you're on the side of a mountain, you can tell which way the prevailing wind blows by looking at the hemlock.
Really? Oh, okay.
So I like hemlock.
Well, let me ask you this now. When did you become a songwriter
and
a song performer?
I've been doing it since I was 16.
Oh.
I'm 66, so I've been doing it for 50 years now.
Okay. Well, I bet you know a lot of songs then. So during that time, have you been writing songs all that time? So you have quite a canon of
There's a lot of it. My next album I'm going to start working on this year is going to be called Time Travels, because I'm going to go back, dig up a lot of old material, and I'm just going to pull a lot of stuff out that I haven't played in a long time.
Okay. Well, why don't we play another one of your songs here? We've got a few minutes left.
Why don't you play the Nuclear Waltz? Here. This is about the humanitarian consequences of nuclear weapons.
All right, stand by.
We wind our way into the mountains of the canyon to Los Alamos. They've assembled the best and the brightest for our mission, no matter the cost. From our homes all across this great nation, we've come to build a bomb that forever ends war. From our homes all across this great nation, to dance the New Mexico nuclear waltz. There's beryllium, cesium, strontium, too, and cobalt. 60, our world is so blue. The work of our hands will rain fire on Japan, the New Mexico nuclear waltz. There were lots of good jobs on the res then, mining and milling the ore, and the yellow dust clung in our lungs, but the scientists said it's okay. Now I'm spitting up blood, but my country needed the uranium these honest hands dug. And I'm spitting up blood, dying from dancing the New Mexico nuclear waltz. There's molybdenum, chromium, cadmium, too, germanium, europium, 152. Our families have paid for the music you played, the New Mexico nuclear waltz. Depleted uranium weapons burn 10,000 degrees when they hit. They're made of the leftover nuclides from building our nuclear dreams. And we murmur the lie, fewer people will die for the work that we're doing out here. The lie as we line up to dance the New Mexico nuclear waltz. There's technetium, thorium, tritium, two, promethium, tantalum, 182. We'll dump it out back, or perhaps on a rock, the New Mexico nuclear wall. The ghosts of the dead remain. They wander this earth enshrouded in flames. Crimes against innocence cannot be justified. We wind our way into the mountains, up the canyon to Los Alamos. They've assembled the best and the brightest for our mission, no matter the cost. From our homes all across this great nation, we've come to build the bomb that forever ends war. From our homes all across this great nation to dance the New Mexico nuclear wars.
You were listening to a WRFR interview of singer-songwriter, nuclear weapons activist Peter Niels by Weekend Roundtable host Ron Huber. You can contact Mr. Niels by email at peasegreen@swcp.com. That's peasegrn@swcp.com. Or Desert Dreams, P.O. Box 422, Tijeros, New Mexico, 87059. Or Google Peter Niels and Desert Dreams.